Listen, what I want to do tonight, did you have prayer before? I got in a couple of minutes late. I was wiring a bomb to Gorod's car. did you have prayer before we started the meeting? Haven't had prayer yet. Okay, then what we'll do is pause here, ask the Lord's guidance and direction in this session, and then what I want to share with you tonight is a Bible study. It's not a sermon. It's a study. And I want to whet your appetite and start you thinking down the trail of the relationship of the person of Jesus Christ and the Bible, the Word of God, the incarnate Word and the living Word, and to see how intimately they are related to one another, how inseparably related they are, that to attack the Bible is to attack the person of Christ. To attack the person of Christ is to attack the Word of God. And so I want to whet your appetite, share with you some of the areas in which you'll find the fact that they're one and the same, and then leave it with you to finish the study. So I just want to jog your minds, promote your thinking, share a Bible study that years ago Buzzy and I did when we were students back at Wheaties College, and that was a great challenge and stimulus and blessing to us, and maybe it'll be to you. So let's pause. Richard Gregory, who is the director of the area work here in Colorado Springs, will you stand where you are, Rich, old buddy, and ask the Lord to knit us together and guide our hearts and thoughts these next few moments, please.
Father, we're grateful that you, who gave us the living Word, also gave us the written Word. And as you talk to us from the written Word concerning the living Word, we pray that it would become an implanted Word in our lives so that we might be doers of your Word and we might pass it on to our children, and that they might be doers of the Word. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to listen and to walk out of here ready to apply what we've heard. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Christ, the incarnate Word of God, and the Bible, the Scriptures, the written, living Word of God. Several years ago, Dr. Jack Mitchell of the Bible Church in Portland, Oregon, was speaking to us here at Glen Eyrie. And he was sharing with us that Satan, our enemy, only has three basic targets. Three principal targets that he attacks. And that every temptation, every thrust of the enemy, every fiery dart, every attempt by the evil one, eventually finds its ultimate target in one of three things: the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the grace of God. That we can analyze temptation, heresy, false doctrine, sin in its many, many forms, as a direct attack against either the person of Jesus Christ, or the Word of God, or the grace of God, or a combination thereof. You see, just as in warfare, you have tactical bombing and strategic bombing. Tactical bombing is when we send in our fighter bombers right over the enemy's front lines to get his troops, to get his supply lines, to get his trucks and tanks and his equipment. This is tactical bombing. It's generally just a matter of a few hundred yards out in front of our own troops. They're coming right in over the target. Tactical combat bombing. Then there's strategic bombing. That's going back to the enemy's factories, his cities, his supply base, and bombing. This is what eventually brought Germany to her knees in World War II. Just bombing her cities and her factories. destroying her production, her capacity to make war. That's strategic bombing. Well, so it is with the devil. The devil has tactical bombing, and he has strategic bombing. And his strategic bombing is aimed at the Word of God, the person of Christ, and the grace of God. That's ultimately what he's getting at. Now, we see it out here a lot of times, the flack, the temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, our, you know, these personality conflicts, quote unquote. You've never had a personality conflict, but some of us have had personality conflicts. You know, I've talked with people, well, we have a, you know, we're a little personality thing. And I said, do you know Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention? Pardon me? I said, I'll repeat it. Only by pride cometh contention. I don't call it a personality conflict, call it sin. Pride. Confess it. Two humble people have never had a personality conflict. You know, so we've got all of this fender bumping out here among the saints. You know, the billiard ball fellowship and the Sunday school class and all the rest. But, you know, but what the enemy's really getting at is the Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ, and the grace of God. That his grace is not sufficient. Therefore, I ought to sin. I ought to yield to this temptation. And so on. So what I'd like to do tonight is to share with you in three basic areas, how that the Word of God and that Jesus Christ are in essence one and the same. Now let me make it very clear that in form they're different. Jesus Christ is a person, very God of very God, the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, a living person. And the Word of God is ink on paper. It's a record, whether it's bound in a book or in a scroll or however they put it together. It's words. Now, in form, they're very different. And I'm not proposing tonight bibliolatry or worshiping the Bible or setting it up, anything of the sort. But in essence, fundamentally, essentially, they are same in three areas: what they are, what they do, and our relationship to them. First of all, their characteristics are identical. And I'll just share with you a half a dozen or eight characteristics are identical. What they are. First of all, truth. If you want to just outline this, put down truth. Several references there. Psalm 119:42, Revelation 21:5, as far as the Word of God is concerned. The Bible, the Scriptures. Or John 17:17, thy Word is truth. But Jesus Christ is the truth. John 14:6. I am the truth. This book is the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. The same truth. Another characteristic is that their life. Their life. The Word of God is life. John 6, verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said that his word was life. But he said, I am the life. Same verse, John 14, 6. Christ is life and this book is life. They're one and the same. The third thing that this book is my counselor. The Word of God is my counselor. Psalm 119:24 teaches that the Bible is my counselor. I go to the Bible for counsel. But in Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. In the King James, unfortunately, there's a comma there. His name is Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's not accurate. There are four names for Christ in there, not five. It's Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful is an adjective. It's four double names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is my counselor. When I go to him, I get counsel. the fourth characteristic, in which they're the same, they're both eternal. Who knows Matthew 24:35? You can quote it for me. Let's get a little group participation here. We'll wake you up. What saith Matthew 24:35? Excellent, thank you. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This word is eternal. It'll be there on the other side of the great fire. Now there's a giant good fire coming one of these days. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Isn't that exciting? You know, the basic teaching is if man made it, God is going to burn it. Doesn't matter what you put together, God has a thrilling plan for it. He is going to burn the dumb thing. That's a fact. There you go, Bert. I think in the case of Bert's horn, moth and rust are going to corrupt before the fire ever gets to it. But what moth and rust does not corrupt, the giant fire is going to take care of. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Only two things are eternal, people and the Bible. Not this book, obviously this book will go in the same fire, but the truth contained in this word. But Jesus Christ is eternal. You know Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The whole first chapter of Hebrews 1, verses 10 and 11, John 8:35. And there are other verses concerning the Word of God. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Psalm 119, verse 160. They are eternal. Their characteristics are the same. The fifth characteristic, they're a lamp or a light. All of you have memorized Psalm 119, 105. What does it say about the Word of God? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. Thy Word is a light. What does Jesus say in John 8? I am the light of the world. They're both light. The Word of God is light, and Jesus Christ is light. They're one and the same. They're both a shield. Psalm 91:4 teaches that the Word of God is my shield. And as far as Christ is concerned, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto those that put their trust in Him. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You remember that promise? I don't even have that reference down here. It's in Genesis. The next you can put on is pure. It's all here. The Word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. This verse we're reading right here. In 1 John 3, verse 3 says, Jesus Christ is pure. The Word is pure. Christ is pure. Another characteristic is that they're precious. They're precious. Over in 1 Samuel 3, 1, we're told that the Word of God is precious. And who knows 1 Peter 2:7? Anybody can quote that? Get you navigators on your feet here checking out some verses. Unto you, therefore, which believe, what? He is precious. The Word of God is precious. Jesus Christ is precious. Six or eight characteristics in which they're fundamentally, essentially the same. Now, obviously, there are differences. He's a person. This is a book. But in essence, one and the same. What they are. Now, what they do. Let me just go to point two here. Their ministries are the same, identical. In many, many cases. I jotted down here 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 things that Jesus Christ does, that the Bible does. They do the same things. I'll give you some of them, and maybe we'll keep it moving along here so we can get to the refreshment time before the greedy people do, and we'll get after it. But I'll share some of them with you. Their ministries, what they do, are identical. First of all, they regenerate us. They save us. The Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. What does that say? Isn't that in the new TMS, if I'm not mistaken? No, is that in the old TMS? Oops. Showing my age. What's 1 Peter 1:23 say? Being born again, what? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Nobody was ever saved who didn't have the Word of God planted in their heart. The truth of the Word. In John 1:12 and 13, it says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, being born again, born not of flesh, born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We're born again, in 1 Peter, by the Word. In John 1, it's the work of Jesus Christ, receiving Christ. Another thing they do, they set us free from sin. Turn to John 8 in your New Testaments. John chapter 8, because this passage teaches us in the same passage that they're one and the same. To set us free from sin. Verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And all these libraries have got John 8:32 carved over the door. What they need is John 8:31 carved over the door. And then all they need is one book in the whole library. Bert, did I tell you that the library in A&M burned down? And they lost both books? You know that, huh? The tragedy was one of them wasn't even colored yet. So it's... I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that to you, my old buddy. The horn goes on at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Huh? The Word will make us free. But in verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ sets us free from the bondage of sin. Verse 31, it's the Word. Verse 36, the person of Christ. They both set us free. Sanctification or cleansing. There are several passages that teach that the Word of God cleanses us. John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy Word. His truth. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, referring to the church, by the washing of water through the Word. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Word of God has a cleansing effect. I really appreciated Walt's comments this morning about, you know, that pyramid, 15% above the line of consciousness and 85% below the line of consciousness. And how the Word of God, hearing the Word and reading the Word, cleanses the mind and refreshes, kind of flushes out the thought life that's impure. It has a great purging, cleansing effect, the mind. We were reviewing verses in our family devotions here several weeks ago, and Ken quoted Romans 12:1 and 2, a 15-year-old. The will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. And Dave, a 10-year-old, who's running around destroying the Glen this week, along with another select mafia, you know, that you brought with you, said, Dad, how come the Bible says the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect? If it's perfect, isn't it already good? And I don't know if you've ever had to answer a theological question for a 10-year-old or not. But if you don't want to do that, don't have memorized verses. They come up with all these embarrassing questions. So I had to think about it for about 2 weeks and finally figured out that good means godlike in essence. Jesus gave that definition of good. And perfect relates to my experience. It's the best thing in the world for me. Nothing better. But I had to think about that for 2 weeks. Out of the mouths of babes. But Christ is my sanctification. You know 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. He is faithful and just to cleanse. 1 John 1:9. We talked about that last night, didn't we? The Word cleanses me. Christ cleanses me. Another passage in which we see this is the fourth thing in which their ministries are identical is found over in Hebrews 4, if you'd like to look at this. This is another set of back-to-back verses. To discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart, the imagination. To reveal my thought life to me. In Hebrews 4:12 it says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God discerns the thoughts of your heart and mine. But in verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Jesus Christ has the penetrating gaze. The Word of God in verse 12, the Lord Jesus, His sight. Verse 13. They both abide. You know Colossians 3:16, let the Word of God live in you or dwell in you or abide in you richly. And in the John 15 passage, it's Jesus Christ who abides, indwells us, lives within us. They both live within us. The creation of the universe. Hebrews 11:3. Who knows that verse? Through faith we understand what? That the worlds were framed by the Word of God. All things were made by Him. John 1:3. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. All things were made by Him, Jesus Christ. Judgment, that's another one. Who knows John 12:48? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. Do you know that verse? The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. There will be no pop quizzes. It'll be an open book exam. You know what God is going to do? He's going to stick a Bible under our nose and say, turn to page one. It's an open book exam. The word that I have spoken will judge him. But we will all stand before what? The judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Christ will judge us. The Word judges. Christ judges. Another thing they do, they both produce righteousness. Isaiah 48:18 teaches that the Word produces righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is our righteousness. In that same Isaiah 48:18 passage, another thing that they produce is peace. The Word produces peace. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. They both produce faith. Who knows Romans 10:17? Quote it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And over here in Hebrews 12:2, let me get that. He's the author of our faith. Jesus Christ is the author of my faith and yours. They both produce strength. Zechariah 8:9 and Haggai 2:4 and 5. Just jot down the references. If you try to find them now, we'll miss coffee break. are two passages which teach that the Word produces strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are some of the things in which their ministries are identical. I'm sorry.
Can you repeat the reference?
Right, 2 verses 4 and 5. Zechariah 8, 9. What they are is the same. What they do is the same. Now let's wrap it up with point number 3, our responsibility to them is the same. What we do is one and the same. The first one I want you to jot down is to feed upon them. To feed upon them. Who knows Joshua 1:8? Gordon, what does it say?
This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. You may be careful to do it according to all that is written.
Excellent. It's in your mouth. Who knows Jeremiah 15:16? What's that say, Pat?
My words were found in my youth, and my word was in the Jews' joy, and also in my life.
Beautiful. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah 15:16. Job said the same thing in verse 12 of chapter 23. But now turn to John chapter 6. Feeding upon Christ. John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 56, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now this fell on the ears of the Jewish listeners with great offensiveness. Cannibalism was expressly prohibited in the Mosaic Law. And here is a rabbi, a teacher, who stands up with a great multitude who is following him and says, He that eateth my flesh abides in me. And it was repulsive to them. And yet that's what he was talking about. The key is over in verse 63. What he really meant, but they missed it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. He wasn't talking about actually eating his flesh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He talked about feeding upon himself through feeding upon the Word of God. You come to Navigator conferences, what do? We get out the scripture memory drum, you know, and Walt Hendrickson lays the big TMS word on our heads this morning. And Bible study. And quiet time. And the hand illustration. Why? So that you will feed upon Jesus Christ. Take in the life of Christ. Become like Christ. What is your body physically? It's the sum total of everything you've eaten the last year or so. You are just so much cheeseburger and tossed salad. That's what your body... Now, there's a giant chemistry that goes on here, but that's all you are. There's just 8 billion cheeseburgers with an arrow shirt running around. Well, and what are you spiritually? The same thing. Your inner man is simply the sum total of what you have fed upon. You feed upon Christ as you feed upon the Word of God. Your inner man, your spiritual man, is the sum total of all that you've taken in. We feed upon them. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You taste the Lord, don't you, in 1 Peter 2:3? It's the milk of the Word and tasting the Lord in that passage. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The second thing in which our responsibility is one and the same is to love them. We're to love the Word of God. The psalmist over in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I just love the Word. Do you have a growing love relationship with the Scriptures? Do you just love to drink in the Word? Is your life so ordered that you can look the Father straight in the face and say, Father, I really love your Word. It's a love letter to me. Or do you kind of, you know, bop in and get your 3 minutes and close it and bow your head and bless this bunch and, you know, head out? You know, to love the Word. And yet you know the passages in the New Testament. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Peter, do you love me? Oh, you bet, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Over and over again. Do you love me? Do you love His Word? Do you love Him? You can't love Him without loving His Word. You can't properly love His Word until you love Him. They're one and the same. The third responsibility we have is to obey them. To obey them. How long has it been since you've read this classic passage over in Samuel chapter 15 where, you know the story where Saul had an incomplete obedience? Samuel said, Hath the Lord His great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Didn't lose his salvation. He lost his position of leadership, his position of influence, his impact. That's what he lost through his disobedience. And yet we're to obey Jesus Christ. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You obey the Word, you obey Christ. That's how we obey Christ. It says, read what it says and do it. There is no emotional pie in the sky, I love Jesus and I obey Jesus and neglect of the Bible. You can't do it. You've got to read the Bible and do what it says and you're obeying Christ. To preach, that's another one. We preach the Word, we preach Christ. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. That's just a plain command. They say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, then teach the Word. Just share the Word. Tell the Word to somebody else. You know, lay the Word on them. Whatever it is that it gives you emotional satisfaction, you know. But give him the Word. It's the Word of God. What is it? It's a sword, isn't it? Well, a sword only has two purposes. You hang it over the mantle, or you shed blood with it. Now just make up your mind. If what you want is a decoration, well, good. Or just, it's a sterile weapon. It'll leave a clean wound. It'll heal. You don't ever have to, you know, and I don't mean bludgeon people to death with the thing. And I finished a little homily one day, and a guy came up to me after and said, oh, you used the two-edged club tonight. Oh, that's not the point. It's more like a sterile scalpel. needs to be preached in love. Speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. It cuts. It cuts away the cancer in my life, the gangrene, that which would destroy me if left unattended. So preach the word. But Philip went down to Samaria in Acts 8, 4 and 5 and did what? Preached Christ. You preach the word, you preach Christ. We have the responsibility. We're responsible to meditate. We've already heard Gordon Jones quoted Joshua 1:8. Meditate in the word. In Psalm 1, verse 2. But Psalm 104, verse 34 says, my meditation of what? Of Him shall be sweet. We meditate in the Word. We turn the Word over and over in our mind. And we meditate on the person of Christ. My meditation of Him. Meditate in the Word. Meditate on Christ. To glorify them. Acts 13:48, we glorify the Word. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Psalm 138, verse 2. That's an interesting verse, by the way. If you're not familiar with it, put it on your future memory page. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou, Lord, hast magnified thy word. We're to magnify the word. God magnifies it. And yet we're to glorify Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 and 12. Glorify Christ. We're to allow them to dwell within us. We've already made reference to Colossians 3:16. Let the word dwell in you richly. John 15:4 and 5. To let Jesus Christ live in us. Well, these are some of the things. Let me close by just saying what I said at the outset. Jesus Christ is a person, the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Word is a book. But in essence, what they are is the same. What they do is the same. And our responsibility to them is the same. Now, there are areas of difference. There are things that the Bible is and does that Christ isn't and doesn't, and vice versa. But in principle, basically, fundamentally, they are. And when this really grips your heart, it'll help you in your communion with Christ every time you have the privilege of opening the pages of this book. The purpose of opening the page is communion. And in communion, you're transformed into His likeness. And that's what life's all about. Let's have a word of prayer again. Now, Father, we thank You for the precious Word. Help us to understand and comprehend. Help us to come to it, to feed upon it, Lord. And that in feeding upon it, we may feed upon Christ. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Lord Jesus, by your grace, enable us to so feed upon you in the pages of Scripture that we live by you, knowing that the words that you speak our spirit and life. May it become part of us, our fiber, the fiber of our inner man. May we be changed by beholding. We give you the glory and praise and thanksgiving in thine own precious name. Amen.